Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
The Daily Tip presented by BetMGM. I'm Chelsea Messenger today and for Jinx today. And we've got a chocked full show. We'll start with the college football playoff rankings were released last night. Of course, we have questions. And of course, there are plenty of fan bases that are mad or saying they have a right to a better spot in the college football playoff ranking. We'll get to that. And then later on in the show, we'll get into our normal NFL talk, the status of Aaron Rodgers for this week's Steelers game, and of course, the saga of Lane Kiffin. Lane Kiffin, man, the hottest name in college football right now. He went on Pat McAfee yesterday. We'll give you our takeaways on that and maybe why he went on the show in the first place. Didn't college football, it feels like this is the time of year where the arguing reaches a peak.
This is what we love. Don't you love arguing? I love arguing. I like arguing on social media. I like arguing on radio. I want to argue, Chelsea, so this is my favorite time of the year.
Well, actually, my first career choice was to be a lawyer because I did like arguing.
There you
but
go. You
like arguing. Unfortunately, before you argue, you have to do a bunch of paperwork and you have to go to school for 4 more years. And mama did not love school.
They want to do that.
We chose this instead.
Which gives you the platform to argue and argue about things that likely are way more fun. Because when you're arguing about like law stuff, odds are someone's impacted this heavily. And not to say that people aren't heavily impacted by that. I don't want anybody in the Deep South to be upset at me for saying that and where Alabama fell. But I think this is a much more fun way of arguing than doing so in a courtroom.
I am changing lives, right? It's so funny to me because all the girls I swam with at NC State are like super high achievers where they're doctors and like they have their PhDs and they're like changing lives. And I'm like, listen, did you know that last night's winner on Michigan State was an easy winner? Michigan State wire to wire, baby. So maybe it's not the most meaningful work compared to some of those other girls, but I will take my win from last night.
How about, well, you got to tell me you're 2-0 on the week. So like who's really helping change lives on a regular basis? Like you might change lives every now and then when you get up for an argument, if you're a lawyer or when you're doing nice surgery, but on a day-to-day basis, you're clearly killing them.
Yeah. There's a girl in my grade that has 5 kids and completed an Ironman. So I'm like, ooh.
Okay, but what did she think about Kentucky and Michigan State?
Oh, who knows, right? Like, who knows if her analysis was spot on for Tom Izzo, for Kansas, for Kentucky, for all these schools that played last night. And then I'll say, for a Tuesday, last night was actually a pretty good sports night. Like, we had college hoops. Yeah. We had the college football rankings kind of sandwiched in between. But I didn't love the fact that we had to wait for the start of the Duke game because mama was trying to go to bed. But it was low-key a pretty good sports night.
Yeah, LeBron came back as well. It was kind of like up to the minute, it felt like, with him coming back. He had a double-double. He ranks 18th in terms of the oldest to have a double-double. Now, it's only 4 other players ahead of him, but his age is the 18th oldest age that someone has been to record a double-double. in NBA history. You know, Dikembe did a bunch. Robert Parrish did a bunch. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar got there a couple times, older than LeBron James. And John Stockton did it a couple times into age 41. But he comes back. He has a double-double. I was with you, though. So, obviously, I'm a big college football fan. I was like, yes, look, once we knew that Michigan State and Kentucky was basically over, I was like, all right, get it off. Let's let's move on here. Let's get to these rankings. They did go a little bit longer than I thought they were going to, considering that they were on the floor at Madison Square Garden interrupting Duke basketball. So I thought they would maybe make that a little quicker. But we got some very good quality content from those college football rankings when we got to hear the people speak. Mainly just Hunter Yurecek. And boy, I've been an advocate, Chelsea, for the college football playoff not being rigged. I think sometimes people take that approach, and it's more for jokes on social media than anything else. It is really hard to be a defender of the college football playoff not being rigged after listening to Hunter Yurecek talk last night. That really put that really torpedoed my stance there.
Ah, you said that, and I was like, oh, that's cute. Look at how sweet and innocent he is. Just
so
thinking
innocent.
The world just is fair all the time. Because at the end of the day, I don't even think it's necessarily rigged, but I do think that when you look at the fan bases, and this is a money-making venture. You know, at the end of the day, it's for entertainment, and they think about these fan bases that have, you know, more eyeballs and can draw more people to these games. So I don't think it's rigged, but I do think that plays a factor in this. So when you say that you've lost faith in the committee, what exactly did you see where you were like, uh-oh, this is not good, just listening to him talk? Because I'll say this, like, some of these people, maybe they're just not that great at public speaking and they're not choosing their words correctly. But you look at this list, and I think a lot of people are stuck on the Miami and Notre Dame stuff because it is very difficult to wrap your head around the fact that Miami beat Notre Dame head-to-head, you know, and then you look at the losses, and I understand that angle where you say, okay, well, Notre Dame's losses are better than Miami's, and Miami has not looked great. And I feel like I need to preface this by saying, like, at the end of the day, just win your games. You play in the ACC, you know, maybe don't complain, just win your games. But what do you think was, like, the biggest travesty last night?
Well, so it's something that Hunter Yurecek said, and we have this audio, so I want to play this before I react to it. But it's something, so this is Hunter Yurecek last night talking about the very thing that you just mentioned, really more so about Notre Dame than Miami.
Be in the field, we know they have to win the ACC to get in. How close is Miami and Notre Dame in terms of evaluation within the room?
I think when you look, Reese, at Notre Dame and Miami, we really compare the losses of those two teams. Miami has lost to two unranked teams. Notre Dame has lost to two teams that are ranked in our top 13. And so we really haven't compared those two teams. They haven't been in similar comparative pools to date. But Miami is creeping up into that range where they will be compared to Notre Dame if something happens above them.
I hate being told that I'm an idiot. And that felt like the AD from Arkansas telling me and telling the world that we are idiots. And it's not specifically about the Notre Dame and Miami comparison that has me hot under the collar, Chelsea, though I do feel like there are some things that need to be properly addressed there that are not, which we can get into in a second. But it's really just how they view Notre Dame as a whole. Because if you want to say, if you are going to take this approach still, that you think Notre Dame is better than Miami, all right, you've at least been consistent with that for 3 weeks. So if you want a pat on the back, there's that. Do I agree with that? No. I think it's idiotic to get up there in front of the world and the people of Madison Square Garden to get up there and say that we are comparing losses without acknowledging the fact that one of Notre Dame's losses was to Miami. That itself is dumb. But then how do you compare Notre Dame and Alabama? And sit there and say, yeah, Notre Dame is clearly better. What are the metrics there? They both have two losses, yes. But then you say, well, the Florida State loss for Alabama was not very good, but that negates a win over Georgia, which is better than anything Notre Dame has, a win over Tennessee, which is better than anything Notre Dame has, a win over Vanderbilt. Like you can start looking at strength of schedules and being like, wow, like Alabama has a lot of really good wins against ranked opponents, and Notre Dame does does not. And then it goes even further, because when they talked about Oregon, they said, well, we still value the Penn State loss very highly because at the time Penn State was good. Well, at the time, Louisville was kind of decent. They weren't ranked when they beat Miami, but they were right on the cusp of being ranked, and this was before the college football playoff rankings were a thing. So they were decent there. It's so convoluted as to who they value and what they value for whom that makes it really difficult to sit here on a Wednesday where I should be happy and thrilled and be like, I think the committee did a great job, because they didn't. They're so all over the place. I felt like when Mac Rhodes stepped down, it would have been a really great opportunity for them to stop doing the interviews post-rankings. And now that they sent Hunter Yurecek out, they can't stop him now. You have to keep it going now for the rest of the year. They missed out on that opportunity, because it feels like every time these dudes open their mouth, we get more confused.
Well, because it feels like the qualifications and the judgment practices they use are just kind of weird. Like, to me, it feels like you should value quality wins over, like, talking about losses all the time. Do you get what I'm saying? Why aren't we rewarding people for their best wins instead of just doing all these mental gymnastics? Be like, well, they have some good losses. And what other sport do we talk about that? Like, imagine in the NFL if we're like, yeah, they don't have any good wins, but, like, look at those good losses. Like, they lost to the Chiefs by a few. Like, nobody does that. And, like, imagine if the NFL did this system. Like, do you know how many people would say the NFL is rigged if they did this nonsense? So it's wild to me. Just college football in general is wild. But the fact that there's a committee picking these teams, like, I know that's a whole other issue to get into. But at the end of the day, when you see them doing these mental gymnastics to try to, like, force some of these big-time programs, cough, cough, Notre Dame, up the leaderboard, it's just hard to look at it and be like, am I being gaslit here? What's going on?
I know. It doesn't make sense. And, you know, Yurecek in that clip that we played did say, and he uttered this on live television, that at no point have they actually compared Notre Dame and Miami together, which I don't understand how you're this deep in the process and not getting to that point to where you're looking at those two teams. Now, for those that maybe you're unaware of what the process generally looks like, the way that they do this is they break teams into into groups of four. So they're basically, you're comparing four teams against one another. They rank those, and then they take another group of four and they compare four teams, and then they rank those. Well, I'm not like the greatest at math, Chelsea. Notre Dame is nine. I feel like that's not far enough away from Notre Dame, Miami, who is currently sitting at 13, to at least not say we should look at these two teams maybe together. And they just don't.
Right?
And I don't understand that. Outside of the fact that they just really want Notre Dame in the playoff, and that to me is why they're at 9 and not 10. When you're at 10, you leave yourself open to somebody jumping you. I don't know that BYU or Utah, they're not going from, you know, 11 or 12 respectfully. They're not jumping up to take 9 spot. They're taking 10 spot. If there is a situation where BYU wins the Big 12 championship, Texas Tech is still going to get in. So they would then jump Alabama and not Notre Dame. It feels like they're carrying a lot of water for Notre Dame right now.
Yeah. The other surprise, which maybe it's not a surprise because I think we all know, like, the metrics absolutely love Texas Tech. And if you watch them on film, you know, their defensive line is absolutely nasty. But were you surprised to see them ahead of Ole Miss and Oregon? Like, I feel like in the days of yesteryear, you would see a team from the SEC with one loss. You're like, there's no way. You know, there's no way a Big 12 team with one loss would jump Ole Miss. And then you look at Oregon as well, you know, coming from the Big 10. Were you surprised to see that, or do you think it's warranted?
I think it's warranted. And I think you look at the fact that Texas Tech has the one loss where their starting quarterback didn't play. But in every single game where their starting quarterback has played, they've won by two scores. And I think that's really what separates them from Ole Miss. I mean, outside of Arizona State, you know, Kansas State scored 20 on them, and that's it. It's a lot of 10s. I see some 14s. I see some 7s. You know, Kansas got 17 on them. UCF this past weekend got 9 points on Texas Tech, they're so good defensively that I think it's warranted certainly for them to be over Oregon. You know, Oregon's strength of schedule is not the most challenging at the moment, outside of the fact that they really love that Penn State win. But I think Texas Tech being over Ole Miss is very much warranted right now.
Yeah, even though if I'm an Oregon fan, I have a like bitter spin on this. I say, but look at our loss. It's a quality loss. We lost to the number two team in the country. I thought we were big on quality losses. So it's just, it's wild how many ways this can be twisted. And like, we knew this was kind of going to be a Pandora's box, because it's like when you have all these like weird qualifications, it's just like the committee just twists them to whatever teams they want to fit it. But at the end of the day, like when there's 12 teams in the playoff, just win your games, right?
Just win them.
Like, I feel like the days of like complaining about like, okay, when there's only four teams, there's definitely a team or two that maybe had a good case to win a national championship and had a good argument to be left out. But there's 12 teams.
Yeah, just go win. It really is that simple. Just go win your football games the rest of the way, and then you'll be in a good stance.
Right, and the other thing is, the only rankings that matter are the final ones. So, like, some of this can still absolutely change. We have rivalry games. We have conference championship games. All right, coming up next here on the show, we go to the NFL. Aaron Rodgers' status for the next Steelers game. We'll give you the latest next on the Daily Tip.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. If Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan, equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.
Today, November 19th, here on the Daily Tip, I'm Chelsea Messenger, Denday, and for Jenks. And as we make the switch from talking about college football to the NFL, then I was just looking at these AFC North odds, and I was like, yeah, well, somebody has to get the auto bid. I understand that's not how you say it in the NFL, but I feel like my brain was still on college football. I was going to ask you this. Would you make any changes to the NFL playoff format currently? Because honestly, I feel like it's pretty close to perfect. Like, I like it a lot.
Yeah, it's pretty close to perfect, especially considering how the league is formatted. I think the 7 is a really good number. I don't need 8. I'm not in favor of expanding it. I think 7 is the perfect number. If you want to get in and you're on the outside looking in, win more games. So I love the way that the NFL is set up.
Yeah, it would be wild if this year they're like, hey, we're going to make some changes in the month of December. We're going to expand the playoff field. You're like, is this because a certain Midwest team is not making the playoffs? Because it's funny how they almost do this in other sports where I remember when the NBA expanded the playoffs and it felt like it was because they wanted Zion Williamson.
Right, and Ja Morant.
Even though now it's definitely not as much of a factor. Like, you're not looking at Ja Morant and Zion Williamson now and be like, oh, well, it's not going to be a playoff without, you know, Zion. But you look at the NFL playoff format, and I do think, you know, I wouldn't make any changes. The only thing I was thinking of was, do you think that all division champions should get an auto bid?
Yes. I don't think that all division champs should get a home playoff game, though. I think you just get in if you win the division. But so a couple of years ago in 2020, the then Washington football team won their division with a record of like 7-9. And they hosted the eventual Super Bowl champions, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, at FedEx Field. Like, that should not happen. You get invited to the dance if you win your division, but if your record stinks, I don't feel like you should be entitled to a home game.
I feel like I will say I think the Bucks have gotten the advantage of that in some years, though, because it's not like the NFC South has been world beaters for most of, like, what, the last 5 to 10 years. So I don't know if they can complain. But you're right. Like, I do think seeding should restart once you get to the postseason. But I do think it places more of an emphasis on these divisional games, which is fun. Because I do like the divisional rivalries and how, you know, familiar these teams are. And from a betting standpoint, like, these games are usually closer. So, I don't know. It's just an interesting angle. But it feels weird to me that the AFC North is not one of the best divisions in football this year. As of now, the Ravens are your favorites at -325. Steelers +270. Bengals 30-1. Browns 51. LOL. But the big news in the division is that Aaron Rodgers suffered an injury last game, and I think we had all been waiting in the wings to see if Aaron Rodgers would play next game, if he would play the game after that. So Mike Tomlin talked about Aaron Rodgers and his availability yesterday.
A little later in the week, we'll take a look at Aaron. And again, as I mentioned, the variables are stabilizing it and making sure that he's safe. And he can protect himself, brace himself as he falls, et cetera. Pain tolerance, but that doesn't seem to be an issue with Aaron. He wanted to go back in the game on Sunday. And then lastly, obviously, how effective he can be. And so, you know, Friday's probably a big day in terms of some of those things. I know he's working his tail off to be a component of this week. He and I talked yesterday. He expressed that directly. I'm of the mindset of supporting that.
Okay, so if you need the coach speak decoder, so the Steelers have not ruled out Aaron Rodgers for this week's game against the Bears. He doesn't need surgery for his fractured wrist. And here's the other thing. Like, we all want to see Aaron Rodgers go against his old nemesis, the Chicago Bears, because he used to own the Bears, you know? So you look at that matchup and you kind of hope that he plays. But still, like, the way that Mike Tomlin was talking about Aaron Rodgers, he's saying, if he falls, he needs to stabilize himself. Like, I just thought of some old person on a walker that, like, needs a life alert. Like, I don't know why my mind went there, but, like, I don't know. It sounded like he was talking about a really old person, but he's right. You need to be cautious, especially when the guy is 41 years old and you have the rest of the season to worry about. So, Dan, let me ask you, do you think Aaron Rodgers plays?
He's definitely going to play against Chicago. To me, he's definitely going to play. You are right, though. It did feel like that first, like, 20 seconds of that clip was not him talking about his quarterback and his injury. It felt like he was talking, like, there's not a lot of context there in the way that he was speaking. I would also think that maybe a coach would just say we should just keep him up. You know, there is a world where the quarterback does not have to fall in the football game, but that just puts a lot of pressure on the offensive line. I think Aaron Rodgers is going to play. I think they need Aaron Rodgers to play. This division is a whole lot more interesting now that Lamar Jackson is back, Chelsea. And on top of that, if you're Pittsburgh, you have to start counting your wins as you move forward here. So you're 6-4 now. If you look at the rest of their schedule, despite the Bears having a good record, that's a winnable football game because they do have a good record, but they're not exactly the most impressive team to watch when you sit down and watch Chicago. So you mark that one as a winnable game with games against Buffalo and Detroit to go along with the two that you still have against Baltimore. You need every single other win that you can get along the way to keep yourself in contention for this division. And I think a lot of that's going to rest on really the wrist of Aaron Rodgers. They don't really have a better option, right? That's why Aaron Rodgers is there, whether it's Mason Rudolph or Will Howard or whoever they want to go with. They don't have a better option. So I do think that Aaron Rodgers is going to do whatever he needs to be able to play. And I do think there needs to be some consideration into, hey, this is probably the last year. He hasn't come out and said that.
Yeah.
But this is probably the last year for Aaron Rodgers. You might as well just go out there fighting and dying on the sword.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. I think that's the best point of them all because, like, if you're Aaron Rodgers, like, what are you waiting around for? You're 41 years old. And also, you're a very petty person and you love owning the Bears. And you look at the Steelers and, like, the time is now. Like, you're actually leading the AFC North. And I know, like, the Ravens, you know, have a good shot to overtake the Steelers, but like it's the NFL, anything can happen. So if this is probably your last year as an NFL quarterback, somebody who is as competitive as Aaron Rodgers is, I don't want to hear this nonsense of like, oh, you know, I'm just here to be a better... No, he's a competitive person. He did not get to this juncture in life without being a very competitive person and a hard worker. So I do think that that enters his brain, and I do think that he's somebody who is going to push to play in this game because, like you said, it's a winnable game, it's a winnable division, and time is ticking for Aaron Rodgers.
I also think I'm looking at this just from a divisional standpoint, Chelsea, from the perspective of Baltimore. They're 5-5 now, winners of four in a row since Lamar Jackson, in part because Lamar Jackson is back. They won another one without him, but in part because Lamar Jackson is back. Pittsburgh has a tough schedule the rest of the way, but so does Baltimore. And so I think that number at -325 compared to +270 for Pittsburgh, it's very lopsided. You know, they get the Jets, Baltimore does this weekend, so you know, that's a win. But then you get, in three consecutive games, you get the Bengals with the potential of Joe Burrow being back. You get the Pittsburgh Steelers with, you know, who knows at that point who how many wins Pittsburgh will have, but it feels like that will be for the lead in the division. And then you get the Bengals again, which if Joe Burrow's not back in the first one, he's definitely going to be back in the second one. And then you get Patriots, Packers, and then you finish again with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Baltimore, like many teams in the NFL, because the NFL has not figured out this 17th game thing, they get a very backloaded divisional schedule for the remainder of the season. And you have to start asking yourselves, if they've already won four in a row, they're going to win five in a row this weekend with the Jets, but how many in a row will they win? And what is the leeway for losses that a team like Baltimore has? I feel like if they're 10-7, 10-7 is likely going to win the division between these two teams. I don't know that 9-8 will. I think one of these teams is going to have 10 wins. So Baltimore's in a very tough spot as well, schedule-wise, the rest of the way.
Well, and also, if you look at those head-to-head matchups, like, if you look over the years, there have been years where the Ravens should have wiped the floor with the Steelers, and they don't. In fact, there's games where, you know, it's Big Ben throwing for 2.7 yards per attempt, and the Steelers beat the Ravens in Lamar Jackson. So it's just one of those division rivalries where I am not sitting there and penciling in a win for the Ravens, at least in both of those games against the Steelers. And plus, it's not like the Ravens didn't have issues before Lamar Jackson got hurt. Like, remember how bad the defense was? And I think, you know, when you look on the surface, you're like, okay, well, the Ravens have a better chance of beating some of these good teams on their schedule because, you know, Lamar Jackson has beaten good teams in his tenure. But if you look at the start of the schedule, like, they were losing to all these good teams because of their defense and because they can't close it out in the fourth quarter. So I do think for a team that's -270 or -325 to win the division, that's a little steep for me.
Especially because they did not look good this weekend. You know, if the Browns had a non debuting, that's the nice way of putting it, if they didn't have a non-debuting quarterback in the second half and in the fourth quarter, the Browns win that football game. And to be fair, Shedeur Sanders, I thought, actually made a couple of good throws. Not a lot, but a couple of good throws that the Ravens, in the end zone, that the Ravens defender just made a hell of a play. But if they were playing against a competent quarterback, they lose that game. And the rest of the way, they will see some competent quarterbacks. Again, not the Jets. Take them out of this. But you're going to see either Joe Flacco, which, I mean, Joe Flacco in a Bengals uniform in Baltimore, I think would be funny. And if you're not seeing Flacco, it's going to be Joe Burrow, which is even worse. Like, you'd much rather see Joe Flacco. You'll see Aaron Rodgers, because if he doesn't play this weekend, he's definitely going to be playing by the first weekend of December. And then you get MVP candidate Drake May and Jordan Love in December, which you never, like, you want to see Jordan Love in October. You do not want to see Jordan Love in the Toyota Love-a-thon or whatever the hell they call it up there in Green Bay. You do not want to see him late in the season. So you're going to be playing against a lot of really good quarterbacks. Lamar is going to, there's a lot of pressure on him. He's going to have to be just about perfect in a lot of these games for them to come away with a win. That's going to put a lot of pressure on him, which, again, that's why I don't love this number. It's not even that I love Pittsburgh at plus 270. I really don't. I think roster construction-wise, they still have some flaws, and Aaron Rodgers is just old. But I would gladly take a flyer on Pittsburgh at plus 270 over Baltimore at minus 325 with still a good chunk of the season left to go.
Right. And again, their struggles against Pittsburgh in the past with worse iterations of the roster. So I don't know. As a fan, I'm certainly rooting for that last game to be meaningful. Because here's the other thing. Like, you know, I'm always looking for ways to hedge my bets. If you take the Steelers at, what, plus 270 right now, and it comes down to the final game of the season, the Steelers at home are not going to be plus 270 on the money line. Do you get what I'm saying? So, like, you have one side of that equation if it comes down to that for plus 270, and that's why I think I would only be on the Steelers here and never the Ravens. I was looking at this, the playoff picture, if the season ended today. Here's where things get interesting in the AFC is the fact that, like, some of these teams that have been sandbagging, like, again, it's weird to see this playoff picture, and you're like, where's the Kansas City Chiefs? Oh, they're not on there. But right now, it would be the Steelers matching up with the 5 seed, who would be the Buffalo Bills. Woof. That's not a fun matchup.
No, you're like, wait a second. Can we get the Jags? Can we maybe get the Chargers, where it feels like they are hit and miss? The last team that you want to see, just given the amount of teams that are here, it's the Bills. Like, they're top of the list. I mean, there is a possibility, Chelsea, if the playoffs started today, you would not have Kansas City. You would not have Baltimore in the AFC, which would mean that the Bills' path to get to the championship, something they have not done in 3 decades, would be as easy as ever, with the top seed being the Denver Broncos and the New England Patriots, who are not bad teams by any stretch of the imagination, but they don't have nearly the playoff experience that Buffalo does. And we have seen that, you know, young quarterbacks, who both Bo Nix and Drake May are young, playing their first playoff game can be a little bit of a difference than, you know, a Sunday night or a 1 p.m. kick on a normal Sunday, right? So that would make it would put a lot of pressure on Josh Allen, to be honest, about getting to the Super Bowl while not having to go through Jackson, Mahomes, or even Joe Burrow, for that matter.
Yeah, it's wild to think about. But again, like, if you're another team looking at this list, you're like, the Bills are the 5 seed? What the hell? Because you look at these teams and, like, you say, oh, the Broncos are the top seed? Like, I don't think people look at the Broncos and think, like, oh, this is the best team in the AFC. Let me ask you, what's your take on the Broncos? I'm not going to say that they're frauds, but I don't think that I trust their offense in the postseason.
I think they're frauds. I think the win against Kansas City, it makes it a very tough time to come swinging with this take, because that was a good win against the Chiefs. But outside of that, I don't think they have a lot of really, really awesome wins. Maybe the Philly thing, but I don't think Philly's all that impressive this year. Offensively, they're boring as hell. So I would say that's why I would not be afraid of them if I was like the Bills or the Patriots, for that matter. If the playoffs start now, the Patriots are the biggest hurdle the Bills would have to jump over.
Yeah, it's going to be a wild postseason. Speaking of wild, we've got to follow the saga of Lane Kiffin. It's next on the Daily Tip, presented by BetMGM.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
All right, so it's been established here on the show that we love college football, and for many reasons, not just the on-field play, but also the off-field drama. And if you love drama, you should be following the saga of what's going on with Lane Kiffin these days, the head coach of Ole Miss. Question mark for how long? We don't know. Dende and for Jinx. And so Lane Kiffin has been tweeting out these motivational quotes, or maybe it's like anecdotes because it's basically a paragraph long. He is not composing these himself, but he is simply taking a picture of a book that he owns. And he was talking about this on Pat McAfee yesterday, where he, you know, likes to do this every day. And here's the thing. Lane Kiffin has so much attention now that people are treating him like the Taylor Swift of college football, where he tweets out these quotes and people are looking for Easter eggs. So, Den, are you prepared for today's motivational quote and the analysis that is to come hereafter?
I'm ready. I got... got my pen out. I'm ready to go. I'll take some notes for Lane Kiffin, and we can analyze this properly.
Okay, so I think I'm going to start halfway through because the first part, I don't know if there's anything there. So we'll start midway through. It says, after you stop trying to live out the plan that you have outgrown, after you stop trying to make the wrong pieces fit, sometimes holding on isn't about muscling through, but knowing what you are meant to release along the way. Hoo boy, I feel like there's a lot to dig into there.
There's a lot. So what I think the big question is, what exactly is being muscling through, right? Like if you're muscling through something, what is it that you are muscling through? Is that just the challenges of day-to-day life? Is there maybe some relationship drama with Lane Kiffin outside of football, Bill Belichick style? Or is he talking about muscling through this season with Ole Miss to get to the other side, to potentially joining a Florida or maybe, you know, an LSU? Like there's a lot of options here and a lot of question marks, and just understanding what is going on in Lane Kiffin's life where he needs to muscle through something.
Well, here's my biggest takeaway. Like, if I had a red marker and I was a high school English teacher, after you stop trying to live out the plan that you have outgrown, does that not feel like he is wanting to move on to a bigger thing, to, you know, leave something in the past?
It feels like he's boxed in and he needs to spread it. He needs to spread his wings, or maybe his jaw, shall we say? I don't know. You know, there's a lot there. I love that Lane Kiffin is juggling, you know, probably $90 million contract offers conservatively. Maybe there's one in there that is $100 million contract offers. And he is tweeting like a high schooler who just broke up with his girlfriend, trying to be like, held back. I need to get out of this. This is for me. I need to spread my wings. I mean, he's doing all these things. He's like, I think he's in his 40s. You know, he did some yoga. Looks good. So, you know, good for him. He was doing yoga with the AD yesterday, apparently.
I just feel like he's somebody who loves the attention. And so, like, he's going to do whatever he can do to stir the pot. And that's fine. Like, I think that's part of the reason why people like Lane Kiffin. You know, he stirs the pot, he gets the headlines. And sometimes in college football, like, that can be a good thing. If you are top of mind all the time, you know, it trickles down to recruiting, to money, to marketing, whatever. But I don't know if you watched his appearance on Pat McAfee yesterday, which, let's pause there for a second. If you go on Pat McAfee, which we all know is a very watched program on ESPN, yes, like, there's a lot of eyeballs going there. Wouldn't you go on there to be like, hey, I'm staying at Ole Miss, you know, they're going to give me a contract extension, whatever? He does not say this. No. Like, there are, you know, he dances around the subject where... Classic. Okay, let's listen to this quote. This was the main one that people are taking away from this, because Pat McAfee asked him about the quote-unquote ultimatum that Ole Miss gave him, saying there was a report that said Ole Miss said he needs to decide where he's going to be by the Egg Bowl, which is coming up. It's Thanksgiving. So the question was asked, and here is how Lane Kiffin answered.
Yeah, that's absolutely not true. There's been no ultimatum in anything like that at all. And so I don't know where that came from, like a lot of stuff that comes out there.
Yeah. But he did not say anything to the tune of, yeah, that's not true, I'm staying at Ole Miss. Right? Like, isn't that your biggest takeaway, is that he went on a national program and still did not make a committal response to Ole Miss? In fact, like, I felt like he just went on here to, again, stir the pot and get more attention.
I do feel proud of the McAfee show for asking him that question. I wish they asked him more directly about, like, hey, are you going? Like, hey, what about the flight to Baton Rouge? Or, hey, what about the flight to Gainesville? Because we know those things happened. I didn't know there was paparazzi in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, but I've seen pictures of the flight, you know, pulling in to the airport in Baton Rouge. Like, we know all of these things happened, and they weren't asked about. The ultimatum thing is kind of whatever. I feel like most programs would do that. You know, the Egg Bowl is their last regular season game of the year, and then at that point, you know, Ole Miss is going to be in the postseason. So you're then deciding, like, is our coach actually going to coach in the postseason or not? So that ultimatum being set there, that feels logical to me. Like, you need to have a point where you're like, you need to make a decision, because if not, we have to do what's best for our program here and find out who is going to be coaching in the at least one, hopefully more than one, postseason game. I can't imagine that he, honestly, in this whole lead-up, I don't think he's leaving. I don't. I think this is just drama. I think he is a glutton for this sort of stuff, and I think we're seeing this in real time. So I don't believe that he is going anywhere or leaving. But this has been a little interesting, the way that he's handled this.
Well, I do think at the end of the day, a lot of it is it's a negotiation tactic, is it not? Like, yeah. I think it's to drive up the price of whatever Ole Miss is going to pay him, because, you know, you're starting a bidding war between LSU, Florida, and Ole Miss. And I do think, like, obviously, get your bag, get your money, because we know money and, you know, all that is the name of the game. Like, I understand it's not your NIL fund, but still, like, I get it. Get your money. It's fine. But here's the other thing that was kind of weird to me on Pat McAfee, is that he kept saying, we're having so much fun. I feel like most people who are having a lot of fun don't have to say it 15 times. Did you catch on to that? I'm like, we get it. You're having fun. It's a great fun year. You don't have to hammer us in the face with saying that this is fun.
He wasn't beating the dead horse. He was pulverizing the dead horse with it being fun. Now, maybe that's just like his crutch word, because coaches, they're not. He does go on Pat McAfee frequently, though, so it's not like this is his first time doing an interview there. He's been on with them at least once or twice this season. I don't know if it's a weekly thing or not, because I'm not that big of a Pat McAfee guy, but he's been on that program before. But maybe that was just a crutch word. I don't know. I found that to be odd there as well. I did think it was funny that K'Wan Lacy was just chilling in the office, though. Because last time he was on Pat McAfee, Trinidad Chambliss was just chilling in the office, and he put him on camera. So I did think that was funny. That's a good bit.
I mean, that was definitely planned, right? Like, definitely that wasn't planned. Like, he was just hanging out. Because I think maybe it was a tactic for Lane Kiffin to be like, hey, it's not all about me. See, I'm showcasing my players. Even at the end of the day, I do think it's all about Lane Kiffin.
It is, yes.
And the wild part is, I keep mentioning this, but I do think it's relevant. Like, I'm here in Middle Tennessee, where a lot of people are Tennessee fans. And so many people are saying, oh, you think Lane Kiffin's going to be loyal to your program? Oh, you poor, sweet, innocent souls. He would never leave in the middle of the night for a better job, would he? Oh, wait, we've already seen this when he left Tennessee for USC. So I think a lot of people have been burned by Lane Kiffin before. So, I don't know. That's what makes it that much more interesting, because I do think that there is something underneath the surface that's like, hey, I don't know how loyal he is. Like, most coaches have already signed their extension, right? Like, that's yes. The wild part, is that there's other coaches that could be going through this whole circus. Like, Kurt Cignetti could be doing this, but he already signed extension.
He said,
you know,
nope.
Same goes for Matt Rhule. So, it's just, you see Lane Kiffin, he's like, hell yeah, I'll take that spotlight, and I will take this bidding war.
And as crazy as, because I'm sure that the contracts have already been slid across the table. Like, hey, we are going to give you this. Hey, we are going to give you this. We are going to give you this. So he must be fighting for, like, maybe an extra $100,000 or maybe a certain amount of money allocated to the NIL. Because, like, he's not fighting for an extra million. Odds are that the contract is already at least $11 million, and he's not going to get an extra one. He hasn't won a championship. No one's going to give him $12 million to coach their program. So that's already there. I don't know, logically, outside of him just being a glutton for attention, what else he would be fighting for that would lead him to not have signed or taken the deal. Now, maybe you're not taking the LSU or the Florida deal now, but Ole Miss should be able to match everything, especially if LSU is in the conversation, because they're going to have to pay Brian Kelly that entire buyout. They're too late. I know they're trying to be like, we fired him. No, you didn't. You didn't fire him with cause. You're going to have to pay Brian Kelly that entire buyout. So it feels like LSU is off the table. I just generally felt like that it was either going to be Ole Miss or Florida for Lane Kiffin in particular. It feels like John Summerall would be a good fit from LSU. He's the coach at Tulane. So it feels like it's between Florida and Ole Miss, and I don't know if there's anything that Florida can offer you that Ole Miss cannot equally offer you, outside of the fact that Steve Spurrier never coached at Ole Miss.
Yeah. From a betting standpoint, is there any way to spin this? Like, I was thinking, like, do you fade Ole Miss right now? Because you say, okay, there's a lot of other nonsense and distractions going on. Or I think a lot of people kind of thought that going into this last game, and it was not the case. So you look at this next game, and I think they play Mississippi State, who has played some good teams pretty closely, and then you have the Egg Bowl. Would you use this as a factor when, you know, placing a bet? Because I would imagine, I don't know the line in that game, but I would imagine that, the Egg Bowl. Okay, sorry about that.
So we don't even get a chance. They don't get to play this weekend. They're robbing us of what would have been a really good gambling opportunity to fade Ole Miss. They get an entire bye week, and my guess is, Chelsea, by the time that Egg Bowl game kicks off, he has a contract extension with Ole Miss. So, like, we can't even, as a gambling community, take advantage of the drama. I'm actually upset at Lane Kiffin for that. He's robbed us of the experience of us making money so he can make a lot of money.
Well, I'm sure he'll post a motivational quote tomorrow that covers that. All right, hour two, is next here on the Daily Tip. Stick with us. We'll be back after the break.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes, subject to driver availability. More terms apply.